Spirit. If we want to enjoy the fellowship of God, the presence of God, we need to have that same spirit. And so if we want to have the heart of a missionary, we see that we have to have a humble view of ourselves. We have to have that humility. Secondly, we have to have a concern for others. You know, why is it that Jesus came? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He came because God sent Jesus because he loves a lost and dying world. Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I'm thankful for Jesus' example, how he loved others. And I especially appreciate the example as we look at his life in the shadow of the cross. That when he was physically at his worst, he's still, physically, I don't know if you could say at his worst. Probably isn't good terminology to talk about the Lord. But what I mean, when he was going through the greatest trials, the greatest struggles, we still see his concern for others. What do we do when we're under the greatest pressure of life, the greatest heartache, the greatest pain? You know, does love flow out of us to others? Does a concern for us, do we express a concern for others in our greatest time of difficulty? We see the Lord Jesus certainly did. Matthew 26, as he was preparing the disciples for his death, in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." He's talking to his disciples. He's focused. He's focusing on the disciples. He's compassionate towards them. He's concerned for them. And he warns them and prepares them for his death. Even as religious leaders, the chief priests, scribes, elders, high priest, Caiaphas, are all plotting his death and seeing how they could do away with him, he is thinking of others. He took time to teach the disciples. There was that woman that had the alabaster box, and she broke the box and poured out a very costly ointment upon the head of Jesus. And the disciples were offended at that, especially Judas. And they said, "What a great waste of money that could be." And the Lord Jesus took the time, even in the shadow of the cross, to teach the disciples that no, it wasn't a great waste of money. What this woman did, he lifted up that woman by her example and commended her for what she had done. And he also taught the disciples that no, what she did is important. And he commended them, and he instructed the disciples. He taught them, "You have the poor always among you, but me ye have not always." And then the Lord Jesus also prepared. He was concerned for the disciples in the way that he prepared them for Judas's betrayal. Because certainly they spent 3.5 years together about, and Judas was certainly a close friend with the other disciples. They spent a lot of time together. They did ministry together, and Judas was not a saved individual. He was not a truly converted disciple, but he had that appearance. And the disciples would certainly be greatly troubled by this. But Jesus prepared him for that. He told them, and he even gave invitation to Jesus, Judas. He gave him an opportunity to repent. And the disciples, they questioned, "Master, is it I?" He said, "One of you shall betray me." He gave Judas an opportunity to repent. And then they observed the Lord's Supper together. He took some time to spend with the disciples. before he went to the cross. On his way to the garden where he would pray, Father, you know, with agony, if there be any other way, you know, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't looking forward to it in a sense. It was great. He knew what he was going to go through, great suffering, great difficulty, and yet he was concerned to spend some time with the disciples. And he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave the disciples and they observed the Lord's Supper, a great time of remembering who Jesus is, also what he was going to do on the cross in just a short time, and also looking forward. He gave them hope that when it's all over, it's not over, that there would be a time again when they could have fellowship together again in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They would be able to observe the Lord's Supper again and looking forward to that time. And it's because that he had concern for others. But his greatest concern for others is the concern to share, to meet the greatest need. We look at his concern for the disciples, but he had a concern for lost souls. I made mention of that song, you know, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And if you're here today, you're not yet saved, he has a concern for you. And we need to have that same concern for others, to be concerned for their souls, that we would not, as we heard in the Sunday school hour, you know, have bitterness in our heart and to allow us to get off track, but we could receive the grace of God and take steps forward of faith to reach out to others, even though we might have a need, and minister to their needs, to see beyond our needs, to let the Lord satisfy us and fill us, to bring the gospel to others, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, Romans 5, 8, 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He had enough concern for us to go to the cross. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He died for us because he loved us, because we have a problem that only he could fix. We're all sinners, separated from God. The Ten Commandments reveals our sin nature. We've all used God's name in vain, whether that be in thought or word, or used it as emptiness. We've broke the Ten Commandments, and we're separated from God, and we're in great need, and only he could fix it. But on the cross, he shed his blood for us. He paid for our sin with his own blood, and he rose from the dead victoriously, triumphing over sin. And we can have that same, if you don't have that same victory in your life today, it's available, and I'm thankful for his concern for us. And so if we want to have the heart of a missionary, we have to have a humble view of ourselves. We have to have concern for others. We need to also have obedience to the Lord. In verse 8 of Philippians 2, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the world, so it's saying that the Lord Jesus, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed even to the point of death. If you're saved, he commands us to take up the cross as well. In Matthew 10, 38 and 39, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. If we lose our life for his sake is when we truly find it. When we die to ourself, we die to our dreams and to our plans. is when we really find it. We may have our agenda, but the Lord has something else for us. What a blessing it is. You know, we already mentioned, you know, if there be any comfort of his love, any fellowship of the Spirit, then we need to have that same mind. You know, we can count the cost and what we have available to us. If we follow our own will for our life, it's a shame. But if we would die to our dreams and our plans, we can find the life that God has for us. I was a nurse for 25 years. I wanted to be a doctor when I was younger, and I couldn't get into medical school. I tried a second time, and I was crushed when I couldn't get into medical school. But God has a greater plan for my life. I was on a mission trip in Venezuela, and God did a work in my heart. And years later, I realized the reason I had a desire for that, the desires he's given me for international students, is because he wanted me to be a missionary. I love cross-cultural experiences and people from other cultures. But God was preparing my heart for something. He gave me the promise that you shall go out with joy. When I surrendered, he gave me a promise. You shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Do you know what it is to experience being in the will of God for your life? When God says, I want you to do this, that you take a step of faith and obedience. You may not think you can do it. You may not think, but if the Lord is leading us to do it, and it's in accordance with the Bible, then we should obey. We need to obey the voice of God, and you find the great joy obeying the Lord. Romans 12:1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do we know the will of God? When we obey him, when we do the will of God, we experience that it's good, that it's a blessing to others, and the perfect will of God. We're able to be a help to people, and that's his plan and his purpose for us. If we die to ourselves, we really find our life. I wanted to be a doctor, but God had a greater plan. And then I thought, you know, I'm a nurse. Well, maybe I could be a nurse practitioner. But finally, the desire in ministry eclipsed my desire for other things. And I was able to lay that aside and I don't think I want to be a bivocational missionary to use healthcare in our mission field as well. But just to preach the gospel, just to share that, the Lord eclipsed those desires. And if we lose our life for his sake, we find it. And so we need to die to ourselves. John 14:21 says that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. When we obey the Lord, we get to experience the manifest presence of the Lord. He manifests himself to us through our obedience as we obey him. You know, He manifests his presence. We read in the introduction to this passage, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, do you know the manifest presence of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit? We know that he reveals himself to us as we obey him. And the world needs to see obedient Christians. Just like Jesus obeyed the Father, humbled himself, became obedient unto death. You know, when he was on the cross, people were watching him. When we go through times of suffering, people will watch us. You know, and what comes out of us as we're going through those times of suffering, I pray that it would be the love of Jesus. It would be a concern for others as we obey the Lord. One of the greatest evidences of the resurrection is the suffering of Christians for the glory of God. And I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks of this. In verse 29 it says, you know, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead?" Jesus asked the disciples, "Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" He had already been baptized by John the Baptist at that point. He wasn't talking about water baptism. He was talking about the will of God for his life, going through suffering, going to the cross. He was asking the disciples, "Are you able to be baptized?" And they said, "We are." He says, "Well, you're going to be baptized with it. You're going to go through some things." And he says in 1 Corinthians 15:30, "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with the beasts at Ephesus," if he's just done it in the flesh, "what advantageth it me if the dead rise not?" But he's saying, he says, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." You know, if there's no resurrection, there's no purpose in suffering. But our suffering gives evidence of the resurrection. If we're willing to suffer for the Lord, if we're willing to go to the cross because of our concern for others, what the Japanese people need to see is a Christian that would love them enough to obey the Lord no matter the cost. That's what our friends, our family members, our relatives need to see, is people who will obey the Lord at no matter the cost. And there's a joy that is available for them. But it needs to be not just with our words. It's easy to preach about this, but it's another thing to do it, to obey it. But when we do, we experience the joy that the Lord has for us. Even in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he humbled himself. And it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." The Lord will exalt us in the sense that he will let our light shine for others. He will. The disciples, you know, Church of Philippi was planted. There was a great earthquake when Paul and Silas were beaten and they were suffering for the cause of Christ. But they were singing praises to God in the midst of their suffering. And what happened was the birth of a church at Philippi. The jailer and his family got saved out of that experience. The world needs to see Christians that are willing to suffer, to obey the Lord, even to suffer, to forsake our life, to obey the life of the Lord, to do what he would tell us to do and lead us to do. Does the world see that in our lives? They need to. They need to see that. And so I ask you this morning, do you have the heart of a missionary? Do you have the heart of a missionary? Do you have a humble view of yourself? You know, the more we grow closer to the Lord, the more we learn how much we need to learn. The more we, you know, the closer we get to God, the more we realize how far we are from him. And we need to have a humble view of ourselves. We need to have a concern for others. Jesus did. He was concerned on the cross. He also on the cross took the time to minister to that thief who saw his need. And that thief called out to him, you know, "Lord, wilt thou remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He took the time to help that thief on the cross, as not only that thief, but our Lord Jesus was dying on the cross. He had a concern for others. Do you have that kind of concern for others? And also, he had obedience to his Father. We need to have an obedience to the Lord, just to simply walk with him every step of our days. And so I ask you today, do you have these things? Let's have a hymn of invitation. Please stand as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for how you went to the cross for us. And Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord, if there's a person here that's never experienced your saving grace, I pray that today would be that day. If they could see their need, that they're a sinner separated from you, I pray, Father, that you would help them to call out upon you and to trust in you. I ask your blessing upon the invitation now, we pray. Amen. I invite you today to simply obey the Lord. What's God speaking to your heart about today? Are you the missionary that God would have you to be? And is there a person here today who would recognize their need for Jesus? Perhaps you've never been saved. I invite you today, as the pianist plays and
If there's a response in your heart, if there's some things that pricked your heart, deal with them now. The altar is open.